listening to Zeroes on Heroes with Mike Mercadal and Will Watkins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Just Trying to Look Like You. Hi, my name is Mike Mercadal, and with me as always is...
Hey, it's Will.
It's Will Watkins. Zeroes on Heroes, people who are suddenly seeing stuff on their feed, welcome back. This is Zeroes on Heroes is now just going to be a feed of us doing whatever the hell we want. And we, if you didn't watch the last episode of Just Trying to Look Like You, are obsessed with improving ourselves, mind, body, and relationships. You know what I mean? Like we're trying to improve our lives. And I think that's fair to say, right, Will? Like we both want, we were both through the last few years of COVID and all that stuff have really tried to like, you have gone through extensive efforts to make your body look incredible. And I want to mimic that.
Yeah, I guess we're kind of rebooting it like X-Men 97. So it's kind of like Zeroes on Heroes 2024.
Zeroes on Heroes 24. Zeroes on Heroes Redux.
Redux.
Or just like, hey, you know, we wanted to hang. I miss my friend and I want to hang out and talk with my friend. And what better way in the modern era to make a fucking podcast about it?
I used to have a joke where I was like, I want to do a podcast where I sit down and talk with people, but there's no microphone, and we just have a good time.
Yeah, like that's called hanging out, and I remember remember just hanging out. And since we are both on opposite coasts now, this is kind of how you have to do it, right? Like,
yeah.
That's kind of how it works nowadays that you have to, I didn't want to have to bring the internet into this, but here we are. And, you know, there's different topics we want to talk about. If you get in the chat or if you have any comments, you can always share with us at Zeroes on Heroes on all social media platforms, or I'm at Mike Mercadal. You're at William A. Watkins on Twitter, but you know, they can find you anywhere. Yeah. So feel free to share with us. And if you do, we'll put it on the show. And if you have something interesting that you're doing, that you feel like is improving your life in the categories of mind, body, and community / relationships, that's a way to share with the group. What do you know, did you bring enough to share with the rest of the class?
Yeah,
you know, bring it, we can talk about it.
We will have the PE blanket thing, you know, when you walk in and there's like the tarp, what do you call that thing?
The parachute. We used to call it the parachute, where you make the bubble and everybody kind of picks it up and all the air catches it under. The pure joy of that experience that you remember, it was so good. You know what? That was the thing for a while that it had to have been somebody's joke where like, I need recess now.
Yeah.
Right? Like I need a time in my day where all of my friends gather around and we all just have unstructured play.
Yeah.
Right? Like if you want to play, you know, kickball, you go play kickball. You want to do the parachute thing, it's there. You want to go off on your own and dig a hole in some sand, go do that.
Man, when you break it down like that, that's basically what all workout culture is now. It's like, you want to go to Barry's boot camp, you want to do CrossFit, you want to do Rumble boxing, you want to fucking go play ultimate frisbee or whatever people do. Like we're just trying to have recess again.
Yes, man. I do think that the idea of like, could you imagine if like in the middle of your day it was, I guess like in I just got back from vacation, but I guess the idea of a siesta, I guess, yeah. Not just napping, but imagine if there was a time in the middle of the day where you could just be like, hey, all of us are going to do, you know, a kickball game in the middle of the day.
Yeah. Like,
and
like,
then
like
afterwards, you come
in is like, all right, guys, put down the spreadsheets. We're doing hopscotch.
100%. Yeah.
Three-legged race. Grab a spoon and an egg. We're running, baby.
Man, we need to have every office building should have field day. Where the floors have to compete with each other. The office suites have to compete with each other. And at the end of the day, you just win some fun, goofy prize. I don't think these are jokes anymore. These are just good ideas. This is just solid shit.
I do have to be wary, though, because of the capitalist culture that we live in. You know, eventually they're going to be like, you know, Jeff was really good at the, you know, at playing the potato sack race, and he's really showing initiative out there. I think we should get him some management position here.
Could you imagine that? You're like, why'd you get promoted? I tugged of war really good. I'm a good anchor at tug of war.
I put that spoon in my nose and it was there for like 10 minutes. That spoon did not fall off my nose.
What were they doing to us?
Yeah.
What kind of random bullshit were we being made to do? Oh, man.
I mean, I miss that. Pretty though. Sure that like field days and stuff like that were like, all right, we need to get these people ready for army boot camp, so they can fight the Japs. We need to get them out there.
Like, it was like JROTC, but like JJROTC, like just the junior. So they're like, what? This feels like, you know, the spoon with the egg that you have to balance. It's like, yeah, that's just a bayonet, you know. You just gotta keep it level at all times.
Put out a pinata out there, you know, but instead of using a bat, using like pugil sticks.
Was there any event that you particularly excelled at in field day / recess / PE?
Oh no, I was
no. That's very funny to me.
I think the only time I remember I excelled at something, and this is, I don't know if you had to go through this as well, but they tested us all for autism by making us skip. And
what?
I don't know if it's a real thing or not, but they, like, in second grade, they were like, all right, everybody, we need to see everyone in the class skip. And some kids couldn't skip, but like I was just like fat pudgy guy and I was able to skip, and everybody was like, all right, so either Will doesn't have autism or he's gay, and that was like,
those are the only two. Yeah those are the only two options.
And then like, did you have to do that? I don't know anybody who's ever
I've never done this particular test for autism / gayness. I have only done the presidential physical fitness thing where they test your like how many pull-ups you can do, which I was terrible at. And like the flexibility where they put, remember that box with the ruler? Did you ever? Box with the ruler. I remember that one. And I can't remember what the other exercises were. I wonder what it, the presidential.
How many sit-ups you can fitness. Do.
Yeah.
I remember vaguely something like that. It wasn't like Arnold Schwarzenegger was like, they played a VHS of Arnold Schwarzenegger and he was like, George Bush is great.
Yeah, yeah. He was like, I'm here to be slightly Republican in the face of fitness.
Nobody likes a fat kid.
I mean, it was...
take it from me, the son of a Nazi. You all need to get shamed.
What is the... I mean, I'm trying to find the 80s one, but who knows? Like, presidential youth fitness program. Nah, none of this. If I type in 80s, and then like a bunch of nostalgia sites pop up capitalizing presidential physical fitness standards in the 80s. Let's see. Ooh, the chart.
Was it like, who could do the best Max Headroom impression? Can you dance as well as Scat Cat?
Scat Cat, you son of a bitch. Let me see.
All right, kids, you have to moonwalk for 10 minutes.
You have to moonwalk for 10 minutes. So, I believe it. Let's see. Where are we? Here. What is this?
Oh, they have the chart? Oh, man.
Yeah, it says here, if you can, I don't know if you can, well, I don't know why it's not showing up.
Curl-ups? Shuttle run? What the fuck is a shuttle run?
Shuttle run was the, like, suicides, where, what an appropriate name, like inappropriate name for a thing you teach children, where you run 5 yards and back, and then, like, like, and then you grab a thing and you put it like you grab something off the ground. Like we had wooden blocks that I do remember the shuttle run.
Yeah, we I think we did that with like bean bags. I think we called it the bean bag run.
Like little, oh like, yeah, that's
like
that's,
you play cornhole with.
Yes, yes, of course. But that was that was a different.
Yeah, that's funny. Like, there's so many names for like exercises that are like so like faux pas now. Like,
okay, here we go.
Like, there's a grip. Where
yeah.
You do, like a bench press called the suicide grip, where it's like you don't wrap your thumb around it. But they like changed it to the YOLO grip, so it's not as like offensive. But it's like you only live once. Ah.
Yeah, the YOLO grip of like, and because it's not intentional. It was an accident.
It's also one exercise that is, in my mind, the hardest leg exercise. It's called the sissy squat. But it's like the hardest exercise to do. But like it's like kind of rooted in like homophobia because you're like
sissy squat.
Yeah,
it's almost like sissy. I've never done this. This maybe I've done it under a different name that wasn't sissy squat.
Yeah, like it's just like you hook your feet down and you have to. It's like almost like doing a pistol squat with both legs, but it's like I can't even do it just because my proportions and dimensions. But it's like it's ridiculously hard. So I'm like, maybe it's like pro LGBTQ because it is so ridiculously hard to do.
Oh, I see what's happening here. This is. Whoops, let me just, yeah. This kind of maneuver.
So everybody's
how
like,
is this, what?
If you do it, you look gay. But it's like, that's the hardest fucking shit to do. Like, that's almost impossible to do.
And doesn't that say something about our LGBTQ family that they're like, it is the hardest thing to do.
Yeah.
to be accepted in the community.
Yeah, now that you say that, like, so many gay dudes are ripped. It's like maybe it's
They're doing sissy squats. I mean, it is their thing. I will say that is the I think didn't you have a bit about this where it's like eventually there's like they used to be that the femme stereotype of like twinks was like what people assumed when they thought of a gay person. But if you went to the gym at all, you were like, no, that's not the stereotype of gayness. Like there's a whole subset, like a wide spectrum of dudes that look like they could beat the, like fold you up into a suitcase kind of situation. Like they would, it's crazy how that shifted at a certain point where it was like.
Well, there was a documentary about that I found extremely fascinating, which was back in the day, you could buy a Playboy anywhere you wanted, a Hustler right. or whatever it was. But if you sold like gay porn magazines, they would shut you down or you'd get beat up for buying them, whatever. But so gay men started buying like muscle magazines with like bodybuilders who were in skimpy bikinis. And so the culture of like that was their loophole to seeing gay pornography. And you didn't have to go behind a beaded curtain or anything like that. It was like, you just buy it right at, you know, the shopping mart. So like, there was this huge culture that grew around with the gay men, especially where it was like, let's all get fucking ripped and let's look amazing. And because they'll let us buy the magazines we want to buy.
Yeah. I mean, it's also like, could you imagine? We talk about this all the time where we go through our own dysmorphias and our own mental issues with like our bodies, where I grew up as like my body was like destroyed by football in terms of exercise and my eating habits, you know? When all of that fitness goes away, it was that thing of like, oh, I look gross. I'm gross. And then in your head, you have to like rationalize, I am not my type. Right? Like, I am not attracted to me. Isn't that this universal kind of thing where, like, if you're just a cishet guy, you're not attracted to yourself. So there's that inherent kind of like, ugh, to yourself if you've learned those things.
Yeah.
But imagine if you are a gay man who's attracted to people who look like you, you know, you would want to make your body as attractive as possible. You think of your body as like, this is attractive. This is good. This is powerful. This is, you know, sexy, all these things for yourself. Like when my wife compliments me now, I'm like, nah, get out. And I have to like rationalize where I'm like, oh, that's right. I'm her type. Not the other way around. You know what I mean? Like, oh, right.
I do think there is something to whether you want to call it being on the Kinsey scale or whatever, where like,
what is that?
Like the Kinsey scale is like, Alfred Kinsey had the scale of like, it's flawed in a lot of ways, but it was basically like Alfred Kinsey was a bisexual guy, did all these.
Yes.
So it's like, how straight are you on this side? How gay are you on this side? It's like, where do you fall on that Kinsey scale? Yeah, it's definitely flawed, but like, there is a thing where like, you can look at, for instance, when the movie Fight Club came out.
Yes.
And Brad Pitt was in there, and so many guys were like, I want to look like Brad Pitt. There is a small part of you that is like, I find that man to be attractive, and I would like to look like that man. Right. So there is that, like, I can appreciate a male body without wanting to have sex with it, but I still, like, I want that to be me. So there is a bit of that in there. Like He-Man. You know, so many dudes want to look like He-Man or Arnold or whatever it is. Chris Hemsworth.
And I do always feel like the people who are very, very strongly, like, I don't want to say toxic masculinity, but like hyper masculine. That it's, I don't, because, you know, it doesn't have to be like Chris Hemsworth is hyper masculine, but he's also like an actor and he wears makeup and he dances. And, you know, like there's a lot of stuff traditionally or societally that would be considered like feminine, but he is the masculine man. Like you would never look at him and be like, that's not. Or Henry Cavill is like a good example of like, he is a masculine man physically.
Yeah.
And then when you can identify where you're like, there's parts of that, like there was that whole time where I remember it was like a breakthrough. Like people were like astonished that you could be like, oh, it's like, oh, do you find him attractive? And I'm like, there's a difference between finding someone attractive and understanding that someone is attractive.
Yeah.
Right. Like I'm not attracted to that, but that is an attractive thing. And when that nuance hit the scene, like it's some hot new topic, it was like people were like, oh, how progressive. I don't think people realize how toxic the like late 90s, early 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
Maxim magazine culture.
Yeah.
Pickup artist culture. How it was like, don't be gay. You know, like you want to fuck women all the time. You know, like that was, it was hyper masculine. To the point where like, even if you were like a straight guy, that you were like, this is a bit much, but if you deviated from that norm, they're like, what are you, gay? And it's like, no, there's some nuance to all of this. And it was fascinating to me how people were like, thinking back on it now, were like saying that like Henry Cavill is an attractive man was like a groundbreaking statement if you were straight. Like, oh my God, wow, he thinks, look at how he can have an open mind. It's like, easy, guys.
That's funny because like now there's like memes online where it's like dude bros are sharing memes with each other like, yeah bro, I'd let Henry Cavill rail me, look how fucking hot that guy is,
right? Like it's swung to like this hyper kind of, like this pendulum, it's like a super erratic pendulum swing in social media now that's like it's like a tetherball being batted by a cat. Like you never know what is acceptable now, what happened.
There was like a, it's so weird that like hyper masculine, like faux masculinity, I would even call it. It's
not faux masculine.
It's,
good
it's not true masculine, because like there's this weird thing where it's like you're like nerdy, dweeby, whatever it is, and you have no issues with, you know, your masculinity, whatever. And then there's that toxic faux masculine section right there. But then once you get into that like hyper masculine again, like the pro bodybuilders who are just like ripped and jacked and like, no, oh, that's a manly He-Man man.
Yeah.
And then like they're like show videos of them like behind the scenes of bodybuilding competitions and they're like rubbing each other with oil and like they're very like, oh, I love your quad, and they like squeeze their quads and like, oh, your glutes. And it's very like, there's no issues with, oh, I don't want anybody to think I'm feminine in any way.
Right, like, right.
At a certain point, I really like that the bikini you're wearing. Where'd you get that from, bro?
Yeah. Oh, where'd you get yours, bro? I like that color, bro. Really makes your skin tone pop. And then it's like, Oh, yeah, of course. None of that means anything unless you want it to mean anything.
Yeah.
That was a big deal for me when I realized, like, oh, none of this means anything unless I allow it to mean something.
Yeah.
Like when people, when you start, like, because there were times when I was younger that I was like, and I look back on it now, where in that era of, like, what are you, gay? Is the time when I was like, am I gay? Because I don't hate, like, I don't actively hate femininity or something like that, and I'm like, oh no, I'm just not an asshole, you know, like that was like a big deal, or narrow-minded, or however you want to phrase it, or taught the very narrow-minded stuff, you know.
Yeah
I don't know, either way, I do think once you get to a point of, like, seeing fitness as self-improvement, the idea of, like, masculinity shifts, where you're like, oh, that's something I can take from and use. This person's body, this man's body, that I can be like, I would love to have this as part of my existence, you know,
or
this man's, or, and even, like, we talk about body, mind, and community and relationships, like community, like in terms of how you interact with the world.
Yeah.
That changes how you interact with the world around you, because if you go to the gym enough, suddenly, you know, you'll meet gay people and you're like, oh, they're just guys that go to my gym.
Yeah.
And they, you like, when you ask people about who have, like, narrow-minded, bigoted views, they're like, you seem to know an awful lot about Jewish people. You know, like, do you interact with a lot of Jewish people? Like, no, I'm never around Jewish. It's like, oh, great. Okay. So clearly you're like sheltered in a way that you haven't fully accepted yet. You know, like, that's genuinely how I feel about once you get into anything that involves, like, fitness or sports, where, like, for sure there have been gay professional football players.
Oh,
for sure there have been gay professional baseball players. But there's still that toxicity of, like, why can't you, like, of course those guys who are hyper-focused on body and performance would have, of course it would, someone would just accidentally, incidentally be gay, or they're liars, you know? Like, what is it, 1 in 25%? What is it? The 11% population? Oh,
that depends on how drunk I am, but
that's true. Is it Henry Cavill? Is it Henry Cavill? Okay.
It's funny, as we're talking, I have, like, my my blender bottle, and I get my Eternia.
That's Eternia, your gym. Who, you know? Okay, let's talk about this, because it's going around the internet now that there's the hear me out, you know, like there's the hear me out, and then it's like some unusually, something that you find attractive that you feel is unusual. And some of them are bullshit, like, hear me out, Emily Blunt. Hear me out, you know, like Salma Hayek. You know, it's like, yeah, of course, those people are sorry. But there's been the trend of, like, what's your strangest hear me out? And for a lot of people, it's like weird cartoons.
Oh, the Robin Hoods and the...
Yeah. Someone was like... Spirit, the stallion of the Simmer, or whatever, that cartoon of that, like, that's just an attractive horse, you know, like, where it becomes this thing of, like, what's your wildest hear me out? Is yours He-Man or one of the
no, it's Gwildor is my
Evelyn.
He-Man.
I want to say I don't have a hear me out, because, like, animation is just inherently arousing. No, I'm just kidding.
It's Slimer, isn't it? It's Slimer from the real Ghostbusters.
Okay, I mean, hear me out. The Marshmallow Man. Okay, like,
actually,
come on, right? Like, that feels appropriate. Like, come on.
All right, I think you won me over with that one. That's a good hear me out.
Hear me out, the Marshmallow Man. I think that would be. man, I'm gonna clip. That's good. I want to clip that, and that'd be the promotion for this show. Hear me out.
it's a program about fitness, and this is them talking about fucking a marshmallow.
That's true. Hey, if you're watching this at a later date, please comment who's your weirdest. Hear me out. You know, to not completely derail, and we did have some stuff we wanted to talk about today in terms of, like, now let's get to the actual show a half hour in. Let's start with body, right? You wanted to talk. I was recently on vacation, went to a wedding in Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
I did not get diarrhea.
Oh, good.
Victory for me.
Man, your conquistador ancestors they're lucking out right now.
Hey, man, I got to say, this is in the community section, but I have never felt more a sense of like self-hatred for my genetics than going and seeing like all of the cultures of like the Mayan. Because I went to Chichen Itza, which is this pyramid. All these ruins where you see these Mayan ruins. It's incredible. Like, it's incredible that it's all still there. And it's incredible that it was like the history. And we got a tour from like a real archaeologist, like an actual, like legit archaeologist. This one guy was like, oh yeah, this guy studied at Harvard. He did research on this knife that they used to behead people with. Like, I was like, this is dope. And they were talking about like how, well, Chichen Itza was abandoned like 200 years before even the Spanish showed up. It is wild to me how we discount these cultures, that like indigenous cultures. Everything I learn about the indigenous Americas makes me hate the conquistador blood in me. This is, you know, like, it's so, it makes you so angry.
Yeah.
But, yeah, yeah.
Well, now you know what it's like to be a white man in America.
No.
Oh, now you know what it's like to meet a black person with the same last name as you.
Oh, no. Oh, no. That is a bad one.
I'm not close to my dad's side of the family. This is a true story. Growing up, I knew more black people with the last name Watkins than white people. Like, it was just me and my brother were the only white people I knew named Watkins. And then every other Watkins was a black person. And I was like, man.
Like when you're young, and then like there's that moment where all of a sudden it dawns on you. And then it's like a movie where all the scenes come flashing past you, and you're like, oh no, oh no, oh no.
You know what's
funny? Am I?
I'm not close to my dad's side of the family. So I finally did I just always assumed my family were like slave owners and stuff. So I did a research of the genetics and the 23andMe and the history.com and all that stuff. I found out in America, there were two branches of the Watkins family. One went to Virginia and one went to New York. And the ones in Virginia were the slave owners, and the ones in New York were founded churches in Staten Island.
Okay.
And they designed the New York City sewer system. And so I had this thing where I was like, I've never hoped in my life, nobody has ever hoped that they were descended from Staten Island sewer people more in their life. It was like,
hashtag Staten Island sewer people.
This is the better option if I was a Staten Island sewer person. And I was. And I was like, oh, thank God.
Wow.
Whew.
Hey, man. People did, blue collar workers built this country.
Yeah, man.
Wait, that is Staten Island Sewer People is a band for sure. Has to be a band at some point. And then also, or like an album title, Staten Island Sewer People.
And you can also do it to like the Ninja Turtles theme song, Staten Island Sewer People. Fuck, I'm a Ninja Turtle.
You are Irish descendant sewer person.
Yeah.
No, Staten Island Sewer People. Oh, what a good fucking name, man. You hit the jackpot. I'm just a slave trader. I got nothing, man.
You were out there genociding people. I was making people flush their toilets. Yeah.
Yeah. You allowed New York to become the metropolis that it is. I did another thing. My genes are part of another history. Oh, God. It really does. It's like the more you learn about history, the more you realize like it's all, you know, it's all bullshit. It's all made up. You know, like everything is written by the people who won, not the people who lost. So of course everything's going to be flavored. And then eventually when you find out like the true history, we have to go digging for it. It's like, oh boy. Christopher Columbus.
This show is about fitness.
This show is about fitness, but look, it's also about like coming to grips with mental.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, know? Man. Way to tie our tangent into the theme of the show.
It all look, I'm serious. When I was thinking about what we were gonna do, like I was like, man, I want to do something with Will again. Let's keep it fitness. But also, like, it's kind of insane how, as I've gotten older, fitness is like such a driving force in my holistic health, like as a yeah. as a human being. Because I'll put it to you this way. Okay, I was in Mexico. We were in a hotel. We were in a town called Mérida in Yucatan. And it was the worst mattress I have ever slept on in my, like that in my recent memory. I can't remember a worse mattress. And I was angry. I was irritable. I did not sleep. I felt unrested. I felt like at some point I was getting sick. Like my body just reacted to one simple thing, which again, sleep health. Like, you know how hard, you know how good you sleep after you work out hard all day and do something like that sleep of where my body has been used up and it's resetting and doing, and the sleep is doing the job it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that to me is part of health. Like making sure you sleep enough is something that I don't think people talk about as a part of fitness.
That's like a new thing actually, just in the past few years, that like all these people who actually know what they're talking about, the doctors and the scientists and stuff, are like, listen, like sleep is like, even more than the gym, is the most important part, because that's when your body rebuilds itself. That's when your mind rebuilds itself. Your central nervous system like heals itself. So all these people who are like, you know, I'm going to get up at 4 a.m. and I'm going to, you know, do the Mark Wahlberg thing. And then I'm going to run at night. It's like, allow your body to rest.
Yeah. All of these Sigma grind set people are just cranky because they haven't had a nap.
Yeah.
That's it. You're just angry at how sleepy you are. But if I take a nap, I look weak. Oh no, I can't sleep. If I shut my eyes, I'll be attacked by all my invisible enemies. It's like, you're fine, dog. Just sleep. Just go to sleep.
It's like, you're grind not an animal. You're the princess in the pea. Like, just get a nice mattress. Just get a nice mattress and just have a nice nap. You know, instead of raiding the Capitol on January 6th, just get yourself a better MyPillow. Don't get the MyPillow. It's terrible.
Like, don't get
that's the thing. They all bought MyPillows and MyPillow is terrible. It's like, just get a nice Serta, you know?
the idea. So there was a video going around about that guy who he talks about. He's like, he has 3 days in every day because from this time to this time, that's right. And in my mind, I'm like, first of all, this guy doesn't know how a clock works.
Yeah.
And then second of all, that guy is sleepy. He needs a nap. He's cranky. Like that's all I get from these dudes where it's like, hey, and it's the thing is that it's hard to deal with like the toxicity in that grind culture because they've brainwashed, or there's like this inherent brainwashing into thinking that it's like, if you accept any help, you're weak. Right. I just saw a video that really kind of resonated with me, where capitalism has fucked up the idea of doing a favor for somebody, like just doing something. Like everything is so commodified that it is like, yeah, if you need me to pick you up from the airport. Yeah. If I can. Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Why not? It's like, or if someone's like, oh, I bought coffee. Like if someone's like, oh, can you give me a coffee? How much do I owe you? Venmo me.
Yeah.
I'll Venmo you. Ah, whatever. Just get me on the next. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah,
it's because everything is tracked and commodified and like, you know, itemized, that it's also like or whatever, man, I'm just doing a nice whatever, if you, I'm just making coffee for you, dog, like, just, it's okay, it's fine. Yeah,
not everything has to be transactional. It's not like I did this, you give me this, quid pro quo. And it's like, no, can we just be like, I've gone out like times where I'm like, you know, bought people drinks or whatever it is, and it's like, hey, well, I think you bought me more drinks than I bought you. And it's like, this is community building. This is
right. We're just hanging out. Like it's, yeah. I saw that video and it resonates. Like, okay, to bring it back around to fitness, have you ever asked someone to spot you and they were like, $5, please? No. You spot, because then when it's my turn and I need a spot, like that's genuinely what it is. It's like, do you care? I don't even need to care. I have this whole thing about empathy, the textbook definition of where you're putting yourself in someone else's position to be able to understand their situation has been like weaponized.
Yeah.
In a way that like, if you don't see yourself in that position, you can't help or, you know, but sympathy just involves you acknowledging that a human being is feeling something or needs something. You know what I mean? Like sympathy is so much more important to me than empathy.
Yeah.
I don't know how to, I haven't crystallized my thoughts on that just yet on why, like how I can explain it, but like, I shouldn't have to imagine what it's like to, as the father of a daughter, these rapists really need to be put together, or rapists need to be put in jail. Like, I don't need to have a daughter or be a woman to understand that certain things need to be done. You know what I mean? Like that kind of shit always drives me crazy. So when it comes to like the transactional nature of friendship these days, it's like, oh, I don't think you guys know what friendship means.
Yeah.
You know? That's that whole Muhammad Ali, thing that he was in an interview and he was like a friend's he recited this poem about friendship being more valuable than gold. Let me see if I can find it. But yeah, that it feels like you shouldn't be afraid to ask someone for a spot when you need it.
Yeah.
For any reason.
That's a, you know, I don't want to bother you, you know, with you know, helping me move or whatever. Or there's to be a hack joke that a million comedians used to do, like, man, I helped this guy move and all he did was buy me pizza. And it's like, you should just help the guy move.
Yeah. I mean, what a nice guy. The guy pizza and beer, sure. Because as a larger man, and I used to own a truck. I was like a honey to these flies of people asking for me to help them move. It was like nonstop. And now on my back problems, I'm like, that was when I helped my friend move into their apartment in 2018. You know, like
the Domino's wasn't worth it. He didn't even get breadsticks.
Let me see. Your screen. Let me see. Where can I find you?
It's a priceless gift that cannot be bought nor sold.
Here.
Yeah, yeah.
The poem says, "Friendship is a priceless gift that cannot be bought nor sold, but its value is far greater than a mountain made of gold. For gold is cold and lifeless; it can neither see nor hear. And in time of trouble, it is powerless to cheer. Gold, it has no ears to listen, no heart to understand. It cannot not bring you comfort or reach out a helping hand. So when you ask God for a gift, be thankful if He sends not diamonds, pearls, or riches, but the love of real, true friends."
Yeah. This is fair use. No right, all rights reserved, all that stuff.
I wonder if he'd feel the same way since the invention of cryptocurrency. Because really, an NFT is a community builder as well.
So stupid. But it's true, like. Just having like we were at this wedding and it was my wife's friends, one of her good friends from New York, and then all of her friends from Mexico. So we were kind of on the outside a little bit, and you know, I kept trying to remind myself, like, and tell my wife, you know, because we were all nervous about these new people. It was like odd. I had like a little language barrier because even though I speak Spanish, I'm not Mexican, and they have a completely different. Dialect of Spanish. And so, you know, we were kind of on the outs, and everyone there had already known each other for years, small town growing up, everybody's known each other for decades, and we were there like these new people, like, hey, hello. Hola. and there was this moment where I'm like, and when I was talking to my wife, we were nervous because we had to give this speech, and then I was like, hey, she asked you to give this speech, she loves you, she's your friend, she wants your presence here. So anything we do is going to be great. Anything we say, make it from the heart. You know, like, you don't have to give one of these hilarious best man speeches. Like, she wants your presence alone is what like a gift to her, because that's who she is. That's why she's your friend. And that's why, like, when you talk about friendship, I always question like the people who have like a 16 best friends. And that's, you know, that's their life. I'm not trying to judge them.
Yeah.
But I don't feel or think that way. I'm like, oh, I don't tolerate shitty people around me. You know, like, so I would never continue to include them in my life. So my friend groups are tending to be fairly small because you keep the good ones close and you surround yourself with like-minded people who are genuinely good. I do anyway, to generally good people. Like, that's why when we were, we're still friends after years and we haven't really done much together or seen each other in years, but we're like, you're still one of my great friends. You know, and I feel like that's often overlooked in like transactional society where like, I feel like that friendship of doing a favor or even for a stranger, just being that, like, has kind of eroded some of that like community aspect that you get in like in certain spaces.
Yeah, I feel like all the people who say they have 16 best friends are under the age of 25, because I feel like the older you get, the more they drop off, especially as soon as like everybody starts getting married and stuff, where it's like, all right, we have to go on the bachelorette party and everybody has to chip in for the bachelorette party and we have to, we're all going to go to Nashville or we're all going to go to Vegas or whatever it is. And it's like, so-and-so didn't buy her dress at the right place. And it's all these like weird things start happening where it's like, you're no longer even invited to the wedding. And then like within like 5 years after that wedding, there's only like three or four of those people are still friends. Out of those 16, it's like, as you get older, you're just like, why the fuck was I friends with the guy who hit me with a car? Like, why is like that?
That
dude
felt so autobiographical.
It was. Why am I still friends with the guy who tricked me into drinking a cocktail of seven different liquors? And he told me to chug it, and I got so fucking sick and almost died. And like, why would I still be friends with that guy? It's, you know,
it's true. There's an element of like, so coming back around to fitness, like when you have a good, like a gym buddy, they're all, it always feels like, like any good friend, they want to help you do better. So like, you're always encouraging each other. You're always going, you know, I'll spot you if you do this extra weight. I'll keep an eye on you. Oh, good form. Don't curve your back like that. Keep your back straight. All of this is, it has no like connotation of like, because I'm better than, or we're all in the same boat in that sense of like, everybody's just trying to do their personal best. That's the whole PR, hitting PRs every day. You know, trying to be stronger than you were the day before, trying to be better than you were the day before. That it does feel like having a good gym buddy will infinitely make that easier. I've enjoyed going to the gym so much more with my wife. We're not even doing the same exercises.
Yeah.
I just like look over each other, see my wife. Hi, man, I love you. And then I keep going, you know? And it's fun.
It's literally the name of this show, that just trying to look like you. Like there's this odd thing too with gym buddies, where it's like, I don't hang out with any of my gym buddies outside of the gym. And I'm going to be honest, I don't know 90% of their names. Like, out of all the people at the gym I know, like, it's always, hey, how's it going? Eba. And we'll have, like, brief conversations, and we might have introduced ourselves. Some of them, I don't think we've ever introduced ourselves to each other. But it's like, hey, I appreciate your support. There's so many, guy will come up and be like, hey, your legs are looking really good, or I can tell that your back is forming. And some of those guys are gay, and I take that as a better compliment than if a straight guy gave that compliment to me, because it's 1,000%. Like, he has studied the male physique and he would know. So
he's attracted to this, you know, as opposed to the other way around.
That means something to me.
I do love the idea of like, the supportive nature of gym culture used to be like, again, it's amazing. The shift. It's amazing. The shift. I think that's one of the aspects I've just in talking to you about this sort of stuff, that you realize how many things you have to unlearn from my generation of like, dude, who's like, you know, I'm just a guy. Like I feel like I'm a default setting guy. I'm just a little bit bigger than average, but like, you know, there's a lot of guys that play sports in high school. There's a lot of guys that train. There's a lot of guys that do, you know, physical things. There's a lot of guys that have had blue collar jobs. You use your body for a purpose as opposed to just like whatever for appearance. And then you get into this kind of like, of the era that I was a teenager and a young adult, it was such a like an oddly toxic time, especially I think in Miami, Florida, where I grew up, because there's no, your body is your fashion there, because people wear very little clothes. They go to the beach where there's only, okay, I'm going to wear swim trunks or whatever, but your body is your physical interaction with the world in terms of, there's like, I can't wear a cool, you know, like I can't, somebody described Elon Musk as like a cool jacket nerd where he got a cool jacket. Like I think you sent that to me, then some meme. And I was like, oh yeah. Cause clearly you could dress differently and it would change your entire personality. You get a new outfit and suddenly that's who you are. But in South Florida, if you're going to the beach, it's just trunks. It's just, you know, you're wearing Speedo, you're wearing whatever. That's it. But your body is with you all the time, you know? And
that's why, like, Fashion Week is in New York and not Miami. Because in Miami, it's like, what are you going to be, tank top or something like that? But it's still, like you said, it's just a small piece of clothing. And, you know, like you said, like, you can have a whole personality based. I've done it a million times where I'm just like, this is the shirt that's going to improve my life. These are the shoes. And this is, oh, finally, I figured out what kind of, what size pants to wear or whatever it is. And it's like, this is turning everything around.
Yeah.
I'm going to cancel my therapy appointment. Like, this is going to fix all my mental issues.
This hat is now who I am. And I will not be taking any questions. Thank you. And it could be any hat. It doesn't matter what it is. But suddenly I'm a cowboy. Suddenly I'm, you know. For me, for a while, it was because in New York, it was winter and I was literally wearing the same shit every day for 6 months because of how cold it was. So then all of a sudden, it's like, this beard might become my personality. You know what I mean? Like, and then I think in South Florida, it became this thing of like, fitness became a way, like a metric of like comparing your appearance, like what you're presenting, but it's in a way that's so much harder than just buying a new shirt or buying, you know, like, so you have these guys that, hey, I'm not going to take anything away from them. They look great, but they did it for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
And then you kind of get like, ah, this guy's a douche, or somebody who is inherently, you know, genetically gifted, which you can't deny that that's true. Some people are just genetic abnormalities. Like one of my favorite documentaries is the ESPN 30 for 30 about Bo Jackson, where people were just talking about Bo Jackson just being like this guy. He's like, there's weights there. They've never been touched. He's just like this naturally gifted, thighs as big as your fucking torso guy. And like, there's people like that in the world. You can't distract from that. And then sometimes it's like superpowers. Some people use them for good. Some people use them for evil, you know?
Yeah. Did you push the men's health gym and fridge with Bo Jackson?
No.
It's literally, he's just like, I don't do anything. And it's like, why is this guy doing a gym and fridge men's health thing? And he's like, there's dust on these weights. Occasionally I'll go for a walk. But yeah, I'm the best. He's like, I just eat whatever I want. I don't care. And it's like, why are you telling people like a show? Are you just trying to make us feel bad? Like,
it's like if they got like LeBron James, who is naturally 6'8", to be like, I was good at basketball. You know, like I just, you know, like you too. You can't teach someone to be tall. You know what I mean? Like you can't learn height.
My example I always use in talking about genetics versus work ethic is the difference between Dikembe Mutombo and Muggsy Bowles, where it's like Dikembe like 7'7", and his whole shtick is just blocking the ball from getting in the basket, just because he stands in front of the basket and he does this. But meanwhile, Muggsy Bowles is he like 5'3"?
Yes,
and he's fucking putting in the work.
Yeah, and they're both NBA stars. They're the NBA. I mean, I always laugh at like the people who there's the whole memes about Larry Bird. like if someone pointed a picture at Larry Bird in the 70s and told you this guy is the most dominant player in the NBA and he's the biggest fucking shit talker, you'd look and be like, that fucking dork. Yeah. And then it's like, that dork is going to school you 9 ways from Sunday. Like, it's never, it's he's like the man.
Yeah.
Like it's almost like the gifts don't have to be physically representative in their physicality. I mean, he was a giant man, like he was a big dude. But it's also like that guy, yes, that guy. And that guy talks fucking smack, like plays the game, or what is the phrase? He got game, but what is the phrase? I'm trying to think of it, but my mind went blank.
White man can't jump.
No, he walks the walk, you know, like he puts his money where his mouth is, whatever, inserts that kind of
whatever idiom.
There. Yeah, all of those idioms.
Yeah.
And I think about that, like, also, oh, so in the wedding, we talk about a lot about soccer, like, because soccer is big in Mexico. Yeah. And we were, the groom was like a super soccer fan. And we were talking about like how certain soccer players, like, you never, it's harder to tell because physicality, like, you know, you never know how good someone's lungs are or their heart is. So, like, you have these people who are running like basically 16 miles in an active game, you know, and they were, you know, like someone like Messi, like, you see him in the street and that guy looks like a little guy, like he's just like a little whatever guy, and meanwhile he is the most dominant player in a worldwide, like in the world, he's the most dominant player in the world, and he just looks like a normal dude. It's just a matter of, like, you know, you can't judge a bird by how it can swim or a fish by how it can fly or whatever.
Yeah,
that kind of thing. So again, there's certain people who are just naturally gifted, but then there's also that, like, ability to overcome your genetic shortcomings with hard work, and it's just a matter of finding that balance, you know.
Yeah,
like, now that I'm older, my workout goals, we've talked about, are very different. So when we, like, this week I have let everything go. I was not working out, I was not doing anything, and I could feel a difference after having done like a little bit of work for a couple weeks, starting to build the habit. My body was like craving it a little bit.
Yeah,
I need to do some push-ups or something. My body was like, give me something. What do you, when you have, like, you who go to the gym pretty much every day regularly, you've established this habit in your life. What do you do when you can't do that?
When I can't, I let myself not. Because there are like different if you, like, for instance, if I ever go down to visit my mom in Florida and I stay for a week.
Yeah.
Maybe I go, you know, she lives in a 55 and over community, and I'll go swimming in her pool, and then there's like a little weight room or whatever, but it's just, you know,
showing off to all the old ladies.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. But but I'm not down there going like, I need to find a gym to go to. You know, like, I know some people are like, all right, I'm going on vacation to Orlando, and I need to find a gym around there that I can drive to that's close to the hotel, or I need to find a hotel that has a gym.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, my brother in Christ, allow yourself to have fun. Allow yourself to relax. To
have fun, yeah.
And it goes back to the thing about sleep, where it's like, if you, like, you do need some body, some recomp. You need to have a week where you can just let your body rest. It, like, other people are like, oh, I'm going to lose my gains if I don't work. It takes like 2.5 to 3 weeks, I think, is when your body starts to have that atrophy.
Right.
So it's all that, like, oh, I need to constantly work out. I need to constantly. It's like, no, you're going to be fine. Eat some shitty food if you want.
Sure.
Enjoy yourself. That's like holidays. People always go, you know, I'm on a diet and I can't allow myself to have Thanksgiving. It's like, no, it's Thanksgiving. You're with your community. Enjoy some good food, enjoy,
right,
have an extra slice of pie, and then when you come, it's one day of high calorie foods, and then when you come back, hey, go right back to your diet. But you shouldn't have guilt. Or if it's your birthday, Athlete X, I don't know if you watch the channel, Jeff Cavalier, he's like, I only have cake, it's on my birthday, and it's only one small slice of carrot cake, and then it's like, bro, have two. Have three. It's okay,
have,
man.
Two. Yeah.
It's okay to have carrot cake multiple times a year.
I wonder how much of this is that whole, like, diet culture is just a mental health disorder factory.
Oh, 100%.
Like diet culture is based on, like, even scientists don't know food science. Like, they always disagree on stuff because a calorie is literally when they shoot a measured amount of something with a laser. It's not even how your body digests it. They incinerate something and they tell you, that's how many calories it is. What the fuck does that even mean? You know what I mean? Like, what does that mean in your body?
It's funny because when people say, oh, there's this many calories in this piece of food, they just think it's like pennies equal a dollar. But it's not. Right. A calorie is a measurement of energy.
Yeah.
In this apple, there's this much energy in this apple that you can turn into energy. Like, this is going to fuel your body. This is the energy that is stored in this apple can go into you, and that's the energy you're going to, and of course, if you consume too much fuel, obviously you're going to gain weight and stuff, but it's people have
your body has storage mechanisms for that to be used later. Again, I was just talking about this with my wife where we have evolved into such, like, there's so much a vestigial, not just like, you know, your appendix or your tonsils, but your vestigial mental thinking from like years ago, where we're like, the world that we grew up to work function in doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So the world that taught us the food pyramid, that's not the same world that we live in now. It was just this crazy nonsense of food, of like food pseudoscience or some sort of assumed authority. But for, again, the true enemy is always capitalism, that for money, for people to make money. Like, I learned about the cheese caves. I ask people to go look up the government cheese caves about how much they made, had they bought a bunch of fucking cheese. It's insane. It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
so when you're, so the world that we live in now has we were taught a lot of like thought processes. We evolved developed these ways of thinking that were fundamentally incorrect, and now you have to correct them in some way. And it's like hard. It's like pulling a scab or ripping off or for some people it's like ripping off a bandaid. For some people it's like letting that shit get dirty and infected. You know, like, they refuse to acknowledge it, that they're the people in the zombie movie that got bit and don't want to admit it.
Don't tell anybody. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing. Then they're like, oh, what's wrong with your arm? I'm like, oh, nothing. I nicked it.
I do think that, now that, people are, especially since, food science and sports science, is starting to pick up, or, you know, they're learning more and more stuff about it. Like, I think one of the best ways to show about how you eat is the concept of the difference between your diet and a diet.
Right.
And a diet is somebody is trying to make money off of you, and your diet is what you eat in a day.
It's a regimen of eating, yeah.
It's like the reason why Weight Watchers is so bad is because they say this prepackaged meal has this many points in it. And if you ever go off of that, you're not going to know how many points, how many calories, how many, what the macronutrients are in that thing, because they don't tell you. It's this frozen lasagna is 3 points, and you have this many points you can eat a day or whatever it is. And the Atkins diet, you have to buy the Atkins diet. You have to buy this diet. You have to subscribe to this plan. You have to be a part of the factor meals that deliver it to your door.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, oh, you have to do the intermittent fasting. But the only way to know how to do intermittent fasting properly is to buy my program that I have and blah, blah, blah. And when it all comes down to it, every dietitian, nutritionist says the same thing, which is if you want to lose weight, it's calories in versus calories out. If you want to be healthy, it's the quality of the calories in. Because, you know, you can... If you're on a 2,000 calorie diet and you eat 1,500 calories of Twinkies, you're going to lose weight because you're only eating 1,500 calories.
Yeah,
but you're not going to be healthy.
It's the whole supersize me situation. Yeah. Like, supersize me ruined McDonald's for people. Yeah. I have some inside info on McDonald's. I refuse to elaborate, but it ruined the idea of like people having kind of autonomy over their diet and just saying blanket that this thing is bad, right? Like, this is bad for you. Meanwhile, what wasn't discussed in that movie is that Morgan Spurlock was like a raging alcoholic.
Yeah.
And he was throwing up and all that stuff because he was fucking drunk. And he was, you know what I mean? Like how
I didn't know that part.
You didn't know that part? It's such an disingenuous piece of shit. Going back, it's like such a disingenuous piece of shit where it's like another guy made a documentary where he went and he specifically ate every meal at McDonald's, but chose things different because Morgan Spurlock was basically saying that anytime they offered to supersize me, he would say yes. Anything that he would say yes. Like there was like kind of this thing of like how they encouraged, but that also takes away your personal autonomy of saying, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? What are you good? And then so like going back and looking at that through this lens of like, this was some guy trying to prove a point that isn't realistic and also left out a crucial piece of information that he's an unhealthy piece, like drunk.
Yeah.
He was an alcoholic and he was drunk the whole time. So only afterwards when his like vegan, it was whatever. There was like this whole long story. Some guy did a thing where he was like, yeah, I ate McDonald's every day. And he did certain other things. And then he ended up losing weight. So it's like, hey, man, it's like, don't like you can't. It's hard because some of these books basically like infantilize people of like, this is your little baby. And I have to tell you, cause you're stupid. And this, and you think this, but it's like, no. You have the right to choose to do whatever you want with the consequences that come from that thing.
Yeah.
So the knowledge of a high protein, low carb diet, or like the idea, knowing that the guy who came up with the fat free trend was a fucking psychopath, like genuinely an insane person. Like, that's a whole other ball of wax. I wish I had more actual factual information and like stuff that I could reference directly. The guy who started saying that McDonald's should stop frying their French fries in beef tallow and should start using vegetable shortening. And then there's a huge increase in lycopene in people's blood because of it. And it's like not the right thing that you should be in your body. All of that ruined like this, like there's like a whole generation of people where it's like, hey, you gotta unlearn this behavior and be willing to like accept certain realities, right? Like eating a whole food, like an apple or a banana or a piece of meat that you know where it came from is of course going to be healthier than a fucking cheeseburger from McDonald's.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you can't make those choices and compensate in other ways. You know, like,
that kind of reminds me of two different things going on in time at the moment. We're in the fitness community. One is which is people who hate Planet Fitness because they have Pizza Tuesdays. I refuse to go to Planet Fitness because they serve pizza. It's like, don't eat the pizza.
Right, like, exactly.
You're a grown person.
The weights are still way the same.
Yeah. And the other one right now that's really big is the thing about the research about diet sodas, where it turns out diet sodas are totally fine to drink.
Yeah.
And in fact, more people who drink diet sodas, people who drink diet sodas are more likely to lose weight than people who go on a diet who don't drink diet sodas. And it's because people have this addiction, not a true addiction, but addiction to drinking soda and drinking flavored beverages and, you know, the Crystal Light, it's terrible and all that stuff. But Coke Zero tastes like Coke. Dr. Pepper does taste like regular Dr. Pepper. And the whole thing about, it causes cancer was debunked. It causes diabetes. It's debunked. All that stuff. And then it's like, even recently, like what's the organization? The FDA said it's a type 2 or type B carcinogen, and people say, see, it causes cancer. It's like, no, type A is apples. Type B isn't as bad as that. It's the equivalent of not getting 8 hours of sleep a night. It's the equivalent of eating red meat.
Yeah. Do you know that like apple seeds have cyanide in them?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like,
right? Like, we okay. You know, like the second you open your mind to like, oh, like it's not all black and white, like good food, bad food. Once you open your mind to all that stuff, and then you realize that these governing bodies are just trying to figure, like health science, and even, okay, let me put it this way. I work in the healthcare industry. I've worked in bedside in many different capacities. Modern medicine is like 100 years old, right? Like modern medicine, the people who are replacing hearts from interchangeably from people, you know, like modern medicine, the chemistry in our drugs, all of that, again, capitalism ruining everything, is literally like 100, like very young. Before then, people, like the discovery of anesthesia is still super new in human terms,
yeah,
in terms of humanity. So when you're talking about food science, people actually like discussing about what is in your food, especially through the lens of like, your food comes from corporate farms who want to increase the yield. Like, go watch a documentary called King Corn and learn where fructose corn syrup comes from. Shit like that is one of those things where like, it's a perfect example that encapsulates this kind of having to unlearn things, which I feel, if we go back to the point of the podcast about like mental health, unlearning a bad habit is a huge, being able to, is a huge boon to your every aspect of your life, especially fitness. Imagine you're used to doing workouts with bad form, and then someone comes and is like, hey, the reason why your back and shoulder hurt is because you're doing this wrong. And then you being able to be the person who says like, oh no, that's what I've always done. This shit works for me. Look how big my shoulder, look how big my delts are. And they're like, here's a right, but also you can't lift your shoulder up. You have your shoulders frozen.
Yeah.
But I get it. It looks big, looks juicy, nice, great, fun, wonderful. But also you can't move. There's someone going to show you the right thing. And then if you have the ability to unlearn the thing, you'll have an improvement to literally every aspect of whatever you're unlearning.
I think that's funny you say that, because it's literally like kind of what I'm going through right now, where a lot of people go to the gym, do it because it is a structured thing and they like going to the gym multiple mm-hmm. times a week. And they have, on this day, I'm doing this, on this day, I'm doing this. And they have apps and things they can follow and write it in notebooks and stuff. Mm-hmm. And whenever I would do a chest day, I always started off by doing, getting on the bench, and I would do bench with the barbell, you know, and I realized that's what was hurting my shoulder. And what I really need to do is start with muscle activation, where I'll get dumbbells and I'll go for a full range of motion to make sure I get proper activation, do some very lightweight flies, blah, blah, blah. But there's still this part of me, when I step foot in the gym, I looked over to see if the bench is open so I can, because that's what I always started with. And it takes effort not to do it, just because it is that habit. And I know that that's not the best way to do things. That's not optimal.
Yeah. And I feel like it's also like certain physical things where you're like, I'm not tired yet, which means I'll be the strongest I am right now, which means I will get the biggest number I can right now. And meanwhile, you're like, whether that's true or not, I don't know, but it feels right. And it's amazing how your brain can be wrong with everything telling you it feels right. You know what I mean? Like,
that is, a lot of people do that, where they get straight up there and they lift as heavy as they can. But it's also like, you need blood in those muscles first.
Right.
You need a warm-up set. Don't do stretching before you lift heavy, because stretching before weightlifting is bad. It's actually, you need a warm-up with a lighter version of what you're about to do. If you want to lift 300 pounds, lift 100 pounds first.
Right. That's like I was noticing it a lot as I've been doing more workouts. I've been doing a lot of dumbbell work, which involves you using a lot of muscles to coordinate and act like balance.
Yeah.
And support, like it's not isolation. You're not just isolate. Like if I was doing on a Smith machine or something like that, where it's straight up just this one plane of direction, like it's one plane of motion.
Yeah.
It becomes like, oh, I have to control all of this. And I noticed that, and this is entirely to your thinking, I would start off and I would go like heavy and I'd be like, whatever, I don't feel right. And then I would get a lighter weight and then I would control the motion better and it would activate all of the other muscles and not just straining to push up. And then by the third rep, I was doing more with the heavier weight.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Am I being crazy?
Yeah.
Because suddenly now all of my muscles are remembering what they had to do to balance. And then also there's that that like the motion is already ingrained. So then now I only have to focus on the lift, not the coordination.
Yeah.
And I think that has something to do, again, this is all just how I rationalize in my mind, because it feels better to me. So basically the practice, in my opinion, for that works for me, is hearing, taking what someone else who is an educated person or someone I trust like you to tell me what to do, and then try and adapt a way for myself to use that information. Like you said, activation, right? So if I were to get on the bench press machine and just activate the pecs and the tries and all that stuff in that one machine, even if I were to go to the dumbbells, which is what I really want to do, it wouldn't translate. So if I start with a lighter weight and do, you know, like it becomes this kind of using this knowledge to and feeling and come together to get like what is going to give you the, I feel like that's the way to get the best result in terms of listening to your body, but then also listening to your friend who is, you know,
That's a major thing that a lot of people do in bodybuilding is if, for instance, if you are doing a bench press and you feel as though your triceps are taking over more than your chest, you can do a thing called pre-fatigue or pre-activation, where you actually work your triceps like you get on a, you know, get some ropes and you do some tricep extensions or something like that, where you exhaust your triceps as much as possible. So that way, when you get onto the bench, your triceps are like, fuck, dude, I'm out. And now your pecs have to take over, where it's like, we're the main ones working now.
Right.
Because your triceps are so fatigued that we'll take over. So it's like, it comes with understanding your body, you know thyself, and understanding that my triceps are working harder than they should be and my chest isn't working as hard. So let me find some methodology to fix this.
Yeah, I mean, the concept of reps in reserve, which you talked about last episode, if you want to, that's going to come up a lot, I think, because it is a true kind of like game changer for me in terms of not hurting myself.
Yeah.
And I feel like it also made me very much more aware of my body's limits versus, but also like, oh, this exercise is something that I need to work on.
Yeah.
Right. Like knowing my limit, there's a difference between you knowing your limits and knowing your limitations, if that makes sense. Like, I don't know if that works grammatically or dictionary definition, but one of them feels like the limit is where I can get to failure. But my limitations are, I'm a heavy dude. Pull-ups may not work for me. Let me do this other thing. I have herniated discs in my back. Let me do this other thing. But it doesn't stop me. It just knows I know how to work around the, like, one feels like a wall. The other one feels like a tree that I have to go around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, but one feels like a wall where it's like, this is how weak, this is the limits of my strength. But then this limitation is like, okay, well, then I'll go this way. You know?
That's one of those things where it's like online, especially a lot of fitness YouTubers, fitness influencers, they have like, buy my program. But it's like, that program isn't specifically designed for you. It's kind of a blanket program where it's like general. Where, like you said, if you have some sort of injury, it might not be a good thing to do, front squats or whatever it is. And, if you want to take anybody's advice, it's always the best people to take advice from are the ones who are like, listen to your body. Your body's going to tell you what feels good, what feels right. If something feels awkward, don't do it. Like, people always like, there's a thing for a while where people would make fun of you if you didn't have your feet position the correct way when you're doing squats, because they have to be, shoulder width, and they have to be this angle, blah, blah, blah. And people are going, oh, you know, it kind of hurts my knees, kind of hurts my back. And if you listen to anybody when they tell you how to do a squat, they say, your feet position should be whatever feels good. And the best advice is jump up in the air. However you land, that's your natural stance. So
that is the first time I've heard that. And what a fucking... Perfect, makes perfect sense.
Yeah, if you just like, because if you look at your feet and you look at your toes, you're like, you're going to wiggle them around or whatever it is, and you can twist them, but it's like, jump up in the air, land. I think they say do it like three times. That way because the first time you may land on purpose in a certain way, but it's like the third time you land, you're like, this is what my actual foot position should be. This is what it's going to be natural, normal.
Yeah, I just did it. You know, like it does feel, yeah. Because that's how your alignment of your skeleton is going to be different than mine. And when I land, my body naturally resorts to its most comfortable, kind of most secure and balanced position. Yeah, it makes total sense. Wow, that's cool. I've never really, yeah, never really thought about that. Let's bookmark that. come back later. But I think we've nailed this episode.
We fucking crushed this episode.
We crushed this episode. Let's just recap a little bit when let's talk about body. Exercising, listen to your body is, I think, what we've discovered. Listen to your body, and also recognizing your limits versus your limitations so that you can work around them, you know, that sort of thing. What is your body takeaway from this episode?
Yeah, allow yourself to rest, get some good sleep. Your body is literally torn apart in the gym. So if that's another thing, if you're going on vacation, sometimes if I'm going on vacation where I know I'm not going to be at the gym for a while, I'll work out super hard in the days preceding that, like tear it apart real good. And then I have a whole week or multiple days where it's like my body can like really recover. And I would even say this. This is another thing is while you're on vacation, after you've destroyed your body and it's recovering, allow yourself to eat a bunch because at the end of that binging session for that week, you might have a higher BMR, like your basal metabolic rate will be higher. So that way, when you go back into your healthier eating while you're going back to the gym, your BMR is going to be super high and you're going to have all this rebuilt muscle. So you can go, you can go right back into it. You can burn more calories. You can shred it quicker. Allow yourself to rest.
That's a healthy approach to vacation. Listen to your body and get some good sleep. Good. Yeah. That's a great, great body. What about mind? Going off what you said, allowing yourself to enjoy the time off from the gym. Yeah, I really like that. I really enjoy it. And for me, one of the big takeaways is unlearning things is sometimes more important than learning things.
Unlearning toxic masculinity, unlearning faux masculinity.
Masculinity, what a good phrase.
I like faux anything. F-A-U-X, put it in front of faux Ghostbusters. They're not the real Ghostbusters.
They're the faux Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters. unlearning things, unlearning habits, unlearning, allowing yourself to create new habits.
Yeah. Getting in that mindset is, and I think also for the mind, educating yourself on the systems in place to see how valid they really are. Like there's nothing wrong with going back and questioning something that you thought was true, because at one point we all, you know, they believed that the sun went around the earth, you know, that was a whole real thing. And then you study it. Science should be something that you do. We all did it as kids. Carl Sagan is one of my heroes. And he talks about how a kid is a born scientist, exploring, hypothesizing, experimenting, you know, what does this taste like? I don't know. Let me put it in my mouth. Okay. I've learned something. Like we are all born scientists experimenting with the world, but the difference between, you know, wandering aimlessly and doing science is writing down or just remembering what you learned and then testing it constantly to see if it's accurate, if it's true. So go back and, hey man, if there's something you're doing at the gym every day because that's what you know to do, hey, is this the right thing to do? Sure. And if you're confirmed and you get that confirmation of like, yeah, it is, muscle activation is more important than stretching when it comes to weightlifting, absolutely, then keep doing it. But if you get something, you're like, oh, is this the right thing for me to be doing? Let me find out. Oh, we have high fructose corn syrup because of government corruption. Great. You know, maybe I'd cut that out of my life as much as possible. That sort of thing.
Yeah. Life is trial and error. And you know, I mean, that's why I watch so many YouTube fitness stuff where it's like they have maybe they have a new technique that I've never heard of before. And sure. I try it out and I go, that fucking sucked. One of the things when you program, do a program for yourself is you find out what's the most efficient exercise where you're going to get the most activation of a muscle or whatever it is with as little stress or strain on you and or on your joints or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And especially with TikTok, where they have all these dudes who are just trying to get attention, so they do some weird bullshit. Views. Yeah, they just want the views and the clicks, and it's like, oh, maybe just bench press, squat, and deadlift. Those are three pretty good ones.
Use gravity to your advantage. Yeah. Get out of here. What?
What?
What? So
crazy. I don't need to squat on a BOSU ball.
Yeah. And as so we got mind, we got body, we got mind. And as for relationships and interacting with the world and community, go do that favor.
Yeah.
For no reason. Don't go do somebody a favor for no reason other than just to do it. We stop making your relationships transactional, and that whole idea of like you don't owe nobody nothing. Hey, that's a real isolating way to live your life. Like I'm not doing it because I owe somebody. I'm doing it because it feels good to be nice and do people favors. And what a fun way to show your friends you care about them, or show a stranger that you're that may need help, that get, provide that for them. You know, I think go do somebody a favor.
Yeah, yeah. You don't need a reward for doing the right thing, and you know, no promise of hell or a threat of no promise of heaven or nor threat of hell should it compel you to do the just thing. So if somebody needs to be moved, don't worry about the pizza. Hey, you know what? Help them move, and then you buy the pizza. How about that?
Yeah. They're going through a stressful time. Moving is hard. Hook them up. You bring the pizza. You know, like that's really what we're saying in terms of like the you know, we're using fitness as a lens for which to improve every aspect of our lives in this show, Just Trying to Look Like You. And so ultimately, take what you learn from your body, from your mind, from your workouts, from your self-improvement, your good habits, and share that with somebody. You know, like, you know, don't give mansplainy, unadulterated, unprovoked advice. You know, like, don't be that guy. But also, if someone asks you for help, help them with whatever tools you have at your disposal. If you're a fitness person, like Will has helped me immensely, and I thank you, Will. I mean, you've helped me immensely in my whole life because of my body has been getting better. I have less pain. I feel more active. I want to do more things. You know, everything gets kind of improved in that way. Whatever tools I have, I will want to use for other people. If you are good at something, share that with your group of friends. You know, if you're good at, if you're good at handling money, help your friends with their taxes. Some people struggle with that. Yeah. You know, all to say, a favor is just you being a cool guy, cool person. You're just be fucking chill and give of yourself to the community, that will respectfully receive it. You know, that's it.
Yeah. If you're a gay dude, compliment a straight dude. Like,
oh, it's so nice. It's so good.
Much.
It helps so much. Yeah. Give the good thing to the world, whatever that is of yourself. Well, thank you so much. I love you. You're one of my great friends, and hey, I too, enjoy buddy. These moments, and I can't wait to do it again. Thank you.
Yeah.
And thank you, everybody, for watching. If you want to continue to, I don't know, support us, we're going to be here every week, whether you watch or not, because it's good for our mental health. but we would love for you to join in, because this is, you know, I think this is nice. I think people should listen to us and take from it what they can. And use that in their lives to improve themselves. Because, hey, ultimately, follow us at Zeros on Heroes on all social media. It's down there in the corner. Follow me at Mike Mercadal, at William A. Watkins on social medias. And, enjoy yourself, improve yourself, mind, body, and community. And, hey, Will, I'm just trying to look like you.
I'm just trying to look like you, bro.
Just trying to look like you, bro.
Just trying to look like
you. Thank you, everybody, for watching. See you next time.
Peace.